सर्वेषां संस्कृतकक्षायां
स्वागतम्.
विशाल महोदय
वदतु. व्याकरण दट् वी आर् फालोइङ्ग् इस् पुष्पा दीक्षित् जी वैल् द स्पोकन् संस्कृत इस् फ्रोम् संस्कृत भारती राइट.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So we are following Paniniya grammar. Could you maybe you can mute your mic, Mahodaya, there's an echo. We are following in this class Mataji, who is actually following Paniniya's grammar. So she has not written a new grammar. She has provided beautiful clarification and simplification of Paniniya grammar. So Paniniya's grammar is written in the world's smallest grammar book, which is called the Ashtadhyayi. It is about 100 pages, and entire grammar of Sanskrit is written in the sutras, about 2000 sutras, and it has the clarification that mathematics has, that kind of quality or level or standards of clarification, like 2 plus 2 will always be 4, you know. So, but for most people it's very difficult, because sutras are very condensed and very, very condensed pieces of wisdom that will encompass the entire, what should I say, the entire page of grammar, they'll encompass the entire scope. And so having that vision is very difficult for most of us. But of course, Paniniya was a Maharishi and he had that vision. And in trying to understand such short sutras, Mataji has provided a huge amount of simplicity and clarification through her own research and writings. So she has about 30-35 books. She lives in the city of Bilaspur in Chhattisgarh. And so you cannot say it's her grammar, it's all Panini's grammar, which she has expounded and done research on and created some new methods for. So that's what we're following. Regarding spoken Sanskrit, Mahodaya, is just the idea that we try to understand, to listen and to speak in Sanskrit whatever we communicate in the class. And in that, Sanskrit Bharati is hugely, and all of India and the world is indebted really to Sanskrit Bharati, this organization that has worked tirelessly for, I don't know, hundreds of years with no money and with just pure dedication, trying to somehow keep Sanskrit alive, because the Britishers came and completely removed this language from our culture. So, spoken Sanskrit we use because we feel that without actually speaking, learning the spoken language, you and I will never really learn to think in Sanskrit. And once we start to think in Sanskrit, we will then eventually hope to be able to even dream in Sanskrit. That is when the transformation in our brain will fully form in our neural network. Because the language we think in is the language that determines the capacity of our thoughts. It's kind of a slightly complex statement and difficult to understand, but the grammar of any language that we are comfortable with limits or, what should I say, it forms the thoughts for us. So, for example, English is a very commonly spoken language. Many, many people are very comfortable in calling it almost their first language. Maybe you are too. I have become that too. And English, we use very active language, for example. It's a very, very active language. Active means I do this. I speak. I see. You do the work. Rama sees Sita. You know, it's very, very, it's called active voice. English is a very active language. It hardly ever do you find literature or, never in spoken. For example, I'll say, I see the tree. But nobody will say the tree was seen by me, hardly ever, or the road was walked by means of me. Means I walked on the road, basically. But you will, I mean, rarely will people say, to the tree was gone by me. No, nobody talks like that. But a lot of Sanskrit, for example, uses that kind of construction. And so for a brain to think passively for an English speaker is a very foreign concept. Well, now, it will not happen, naturally. So what I'm trying to say is through learning to speak and think in, and listen in spoken Sanskrit in this classroom, we are hoping to bring in the transformation that you are actually learning grammatically. Otherwise, it becomes a theory that we learn and it never kind of sits in our minds. It never sits, it never becomes one with us. It's always this imposed thing that has no real value. It's like, okay, I have seen pictures of the moon or, you know, of the galaxy, but I really have no clue what it is. It has no impact on my life. But if you have actually, you know, lived on the moon and been there and worked in it, and, you know, you will have a personal relationship with it. So in trying to listen and speak in spoken Sanskrit, we are trying to build a personal relationship with this language and include it in our being. In that, what we study for that is Paninian grammar as simplified and being as taught by Mataji. Does that make sense, Mahodaya? Vishal Mahodaya?
Yes, got it, yeah.
Astu, uttamam. Astu, Amy Bhagini Swagatam, Diane Bhagini Swagatam, Marie Josephine, do you hear me? Can you unmute yourself? Sundari Bhagini Swagatam. Lawrence.
Namaskaraha.
Namaskaraha.
Mama.
Swagatam Bhagini.
Nama. Marie Josephine.
Mama Nama. Marie Josephine. Uttamam. Uttamam. And where are you located, Marie?
I live in New Hampshire, United States.
So, and are you familiar with Devanagari?
I'm not. I do practice. I try, but I'm taking the course because I'd really like to read the Ashtanga Hatayam well. And so I've read some of the Devanagari because I can read the transliteration, but then I have to read the interpretation as well. So I know some mm-hmm. words, but I have no basic understanding.
Mm-hmm. Uttamam. Swagatam, welcome to this class. I didn't meet with you last time, there, so I asked. Astu, uttamam.
No. I listened to your recording because I had signed up for a different class, but then they encouraged us to listen to the recordings, and so I listened to some of the others, and I really I wanted to attend one of your classes. I want to tell you that English is not my first language. English mm-hmm. is my second language. My first language is French. It was very difficult and challenging for me to learn English. I don't feel like learning languages is easy for me. In any way,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
find it
I'm
very
glad
challenging.
To hear English is not your first language, because there are so many other beautiful languages on this planet, and for some fashion reason, I think it's just a chance trend that English has overtaken the globe, and it has some strength, but it doesn't. It's not, you know, the world's most beautiful functional human consciousness uplifting language that, you know, we need to give up all other languages. So I'm glad to hear English is not your first. Welcome. Astu. Sundari Bhagini Swagatam. Veera Bhagini Swagatam. Indra Bhagini Swagatam.
Namaskaram. Ah,
namaskaram. Astu. So we had another number which I don't see anymore. Astu. Astu, Bhavya Bhagini, I think you came to one class last week, but maybe not to this one. Bhavya Bhagini, your name, are you Natalie also?
Yes, I'm Natalie also.
Ah.
This is my spiritual name, Bhavya.
Astu.
So I prefer to use, for the Sanskrit class, I prefer to use Bhavya.
Bhavya Bhagini, Swagatam. Astu Sarvebhya Namo Namaha. Mama Nama Gitanjalihi. Mama Nama Gitanjalihi. Bhavataha Nama Kim. Matthew Mahodaya, Bhavataha Nama Kim.
Mama Nama Matthew.
Ah, Uttamam. Can you ask somebody else? You take their name and ask them their name in Sanskrit. Can you do that? You choose. Can
Marie,
you see the names on the...
Marie Josephine Bhavityaha Namakim. Mm.
Mama Nama Marie Josephine Bhavata Namakim.
Take a name. I'll give you a name. Vishal.
Chris.
Vishal.
Oh, Vishal.
Vishal. Bhavataha nama kim. So, bhavataha ityukte, bhavataha means singular, masculine, your. Formal you, your. That's why I have to now choose, because you said bhavataha, I had to choose a masculine name.
Person.
But
yes.
Matthew Mahodaya asked you, and so he very clearly used bhavatyaha, meaning your formal you, your feminine singular. As soon as he said bhavatyaha, you know he's referring to you, whoever you are, as and you are a feminine formal person. So Marie Josephine. Punaha vadatu. Please say again.
Okay. So to Matthew, Baha.
So to Vishal. No.
To Vishal. Okay, to Vishal. Bhavataha namakim.
Mama nama Vishala. Bhavatyaha namakim.
Give a name.
Give a name.
I give you a name?
Chris.
Punah vadatu Vishal Mahodaya.
Mama nama Vishala. Bhavata nama kim.
No, Bhava. So you have to choose, Mahodaya. You either say Bhavataha, which means you're asking a male, or you say Bhavatyaha. Meaning you're asking a female.
Yeah, you said to ask Chris, so I...
Chris is a female. Chris is a female.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Nasti chinta. Vadatu.
Mama nama Vishala, bhavatyaha nama kim.
Chris Bhagini. Chris Bhagini,
Mama Namaha, Chris.
Mama Nama, not Mamaha. Mama Nama, Chris.
Mama Nama, Chris.
Now, why don't you ask Purnima? So you say, Purnima Bhagini, Bhavatyaha Nama Kim. relative?
Okay.
Purnima.
Purnima. Mamana.
No. Bhavatyaha.
Bhavatyaha.
Namakim.
Mama Kim.
Nama. Nama is the same as name. Namaste, Bhagini.
Namaskarah, Krit Bhagini. Mama Nama Purnima.
Uttamam. Purnima Bhagini. Rick. Rick Mahodayam Prichatu. Please ask. Rick Mahodaya.
Rick Mahodaya. Bhavatah nama kim?
Mama nama Rick.
Uttamam. Rick Mahodaya, ask Sundari Bhagini.
Sundari, okay. Bhavatyaha nama kim?
Mama nama Sundari.
Sundari Bhagini, ask Vera Bhagini.
Vera Bhagini, Bhavatyaha nama kim?
Mama nama Vera.
Uttamam, Vera Bhagini. Vera Bhagini, ask Diane Bhagini.
Oh, I asked? Okay.
Ask Diane Bhagini.
Okay. Bhavatyaha nama kim? Diane.
Mama nama Diane.
Uttamam. Diane Bhagini, ask Amy.
Bhagini, I know how to say Bhavatyaha for a male, but I'm not sure how to say the female.
Good question. I will say it again and repeat after me. Bhavatyaha. Which
Namakim.
Means your. Amy Bhagini Vadatu.
Amy?
Amy Bhagini Astiva?
Can you hear me now?
Astu. Vadatu.
Mama Nama Amy?
Uttamam. Amy Bhagini, ask Rafael Mahodaya.
Could you give the example of what to say again, please?
I definitely will. Thank you for asking. So, you are asking Rafael Mahodaya. The minute I said Mahodaya, you know it is referring to a masculine, a man. So you will say Bhavataha, meaning your singular. Bhavataha nama kim? Vadatu Amy Bhagini.
Bhavataha
Rafael.
Rafael Mahodaya, shrunotu. Rafael Mahodaya, please listen.
Yes.
Shrunotu. Amy Bhagini, vadatu. Amy Bhagini, please speak. Vadatu.
Vadatu nama.
Kim. Amy Bhagini, one more time. Bhavataha nama kim.
Bhavataha nama.
Kim is the question word. What? So, bhavatah nama kim? Vadatu, Amy Bhagini, please say all the three words.
Bhavatah nama kim?
Uttamam, sundaram. Dhanyavada Bhagini. Now, Rafael Mahodaya, please. Uttaram vadatu. Please say the answer. Uttaram vadatu.
Uttaram vadatu.
Uttaram vadatu means please say the answer. I'm glad you are repeating. So say the answer. She asked you a question. Please answer her.
The problem is I don't remember the question. I didn't.
The question was bhavatah nama kim? What is your name? Bhavatah nama kim? So your name you will say mama nama Rafael.
Baba nama Rafael.
Mama nama Rafael.
Mama nama Rafael.
Uttamam. Uttamam. Mama ityukte kim? So the when I say ityukte, it means it literally means what does it mean? Iti ukte. Iti this ukte, this said. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is what it means. So if I say mama ityukte, it means what does mama mean? Mama ityukte kim? Now it's a question. What does mama mean? Kopi vadatu. What does it mean? Can somebody tell me? Mama means what?
What's your name?
My.
No.
My.
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 My. My.
May I please ask, are you sharing your screen?
I am sharing nothing. I am sharing sound.
Okay.
And here is the difference now. For all of you, welcome to my class. I don't want to make it hard for you or anybody, but we are so grounded into learning with paper and writing. We are so accustomed to it. We are so almost, addicted to it. If we learn something, it has to be on a paper and on a pen, and I have to be able to spell it out so that I can sound it out, which, as we all know, is actually backwards. All languages are oral first. Every child learns every language orally first. And they learn beautifully. They don't have any questions. They have no trouble with grammar. They have no trouble with sounds. They have no trouble at all. They don't even worry that they're getting it wrong. They eventually get it right, and they're wonderful. So the best learning is like that of a child. And I am going to ask us all to become those beautiful children and to give up our addiction to wanting to see and read. I will use a book in the class. I will share my screen. I will do writing with you. But I want us to spend a lot of time opening up our ears and our minds to just being able to hear and feeling confident enough to try to repeat. That's all. You are welcome to make mistakes. I make mistakes. I'm a teacher and I make mistakes. So don't expect perfection from me, and I don't expect it from you. Let's just work at a really, really functional level. Listen to the sounds. Trust yourself. You want to make your notes? Go for it. But remember, if you hear bhavatah and you quickly jot it down as whatever spelling that comes to you in English, remember that when you write these sounds in English, you are tainting, you are putting a color on them that doesn't naturally exist. Because the minute you write in the English language, you are creating superimposing the English sounds and the accents that you are familiar with onto this new language. And that's okay, as long as you know what you're doing. Okay? So what I'm trying to ask of all of us is to not be dependent and expecting a piece of paper every minute. You will eventually get it. I will be spending a lot of time teaching you all this. But just listen and enjoy. It's been wonderful. All of you managed to get all the sounds. Wonderful. Excellent. Uttamam. Uttamam. Beautiful. Sundaram. I will keep saying these words. And eventually you will start to know what they mean. Sundaram. When I say sundaram, it means beautiful. Uttamam means well done. High. Very highly done. I appreciate. Vadatu. If I say vadatu, it means please speak. Vadatu. Please speak. Slowly, these words will start to enter your mind and your memory, and they will make sense to you just like any other language. And I have one more person that I would like to welcome to class, because I don't think I've spoken with you. Rabal Mahodaya?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Raval, R-A-V-A-L, Prabodha.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Namaste, right Mahodaya.
Thank you. Yes, Krishna.
Oh, are you the same as Raphael?
No, I'm Rahul.
Okay. Oh, you are Rahul.
Yes.
Astu. It says R-A-V-A-L, so I was confused. Astu, Mahodaya. Rahul, Mahodaya, where are you located?
I'm located in North Carolina. USA.
I see. North Carolina. Uttamam. Astu Mahodaya. Swagatam. And do you know Devanagari?
No. No, where they live? Where I'm not sure.
Can you read Hindi or any Indian script?
Yeah, I can read a little bit. I mean, I can read Hindi, and I know a little bit about Sanskrit too, a little bit. Not much.
Uh-huh. What is your mother tongue, Mahodaya?
My mother tongue is Gujarati. I'm from Gujarat in India.
Okay. And so you can read Gujarati.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm not sure where you located.
Right now I'm in India, Mahodaya, but otherwise I'm in Kansas, Mahodaya.
Mm-hmm. I see. What is in India?
Right now I'm in Bhopal, Mahodaya.
Oh, in Bhopal. Okay. Good.
Astu, swagatam, Mahodaya. Ha, swagatam. Astu. So, I would, dhanyavada, Mahodaya, astu. So, from last class, I would like to pick up and ask you, what are the differences, who can tell me the differences between vowels and consonants?
I didn't hear you. What do you say, vowels and what?
No. Mahodaya, I am continuing to teach class now, Mahodaya.
Yeah.
Astu.
Bhagini, I can try if you want.
Purnima Bhagini, vadatu. What is the difference between vowels and consonants? Vadatu Bhagini.
Yeah, so what I remember is that the sounds are free, floating without interruption sounds, and the consonants are stops. But they are also sounds, but just very short. Mm-hmm. Whereas vowels, they have classifications in different kinds, and they are built up in five different sthanas in the mouth, like starting from kanta and then going to, I don't know if you want me to tell them, but yeah, you said them actually.
Yeah, my question is the difference between vowels and consonants.
Sure.
So are vowels located in five locations? Is that what you said?
Yes, because, for example, R, the letter R, is in the kanta. It's built there. And E is, I think, talu. And O is Yeah, I don't know right now.
I can.
Good try. Good try. Anybody?
I can try. I will try.
Mari Bhagini, vadatu.
I think that consonants depend on a vowel in order to exist.
Astu. Uttamam. Yeah. We talked about that last time. But last time we spoke a lot more about qualities of vowels and consonants. Who could remind us as to what are the things we spoke about?
So the vowel sounds are unlimited. And consonant sounds are short sounds. It has stops.
It has, what does a stop mean?
It's like a short sound.
So if I said, is that a short sound? That's a short sound. Is that a consonant?
No, it's a vowel.
So then, how do we differentiate? What is the conceptual difference between a vowel and a consonant? Anybody else would like to try? We spoke about it last time.
Namaskara, Geeta. I'll try.
Ashley Bhagini, Swagatam Vadatu.
The difference that I can make out is that with the consonants, there are points of contact with the 12 teeth that create what feel like stops, and then the vowel is just open and unlimited.
Uttamam. Very nice. Very good. Very good. So, consonants are stop sounds. And although what you said is feel like, actually they do stop. They actually stop the flow of air coming out of our lungs through the mouth. They really stop air. So, for example, if I have to say K, I really have to stop the breath flowing out of my mouth, even briefly, even for a fraction of a second, and then release it. At what point do I, in my mouth, do I stop it? At what location? And when I release it at that location, what sound will it make? So if I stop it at the throat and release it at the throat, the sound ka will come. But if I stop it at the lips and release it, what will come? Who can tell me?
Pa.
Pa. Yep. Pa. If I stop it at the dental location and release it, what will come?
Ta.
Ta.
Ta. If I stop it at the roof of the mouth.
And.
If I stop it at the palate level, palate location, what sound will come? Uttamam. All right, my next question. Within one location, so Sanskrit recognizes that although innumerable places of stopping can be found in the mouth, they have chosen five specific locations. Who can tell me why? Why are there, I mean, Sanskrit is such an organized, the concept of sound has been so thoroughly thought through. It has been meditated upon for thousands of years. Everything I can think of and rishis can think of has been worked through. And of all the locations and all the multiple places consonants can come out of, only five locations in the mouth were chosen. Who can tell? Think of a reason.
Is it not the way the tongue touches the places in the mouth area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not also English native, so I don't know the words in English actually. So I'm trying to imagine how it would be called.
Yeah, it doesn't have to do with English actually, but so all stop sounds, all consonants are about some kind of articulation in the mouth. I would like you to YouTube, somehow Google an infrared or an X-ray camera of somebody talking from a cross-section or a side view. I would like you to find a video, and if somebody can find a video and share it with me, I will share it with others. But I have seen such videos, which are black and white, like a X-ray kind of a shot. And when you see somebody talking any language, it is unbelievable how hard the parts of the mouth work and how fast the tongue moves. It's unbelievable. So it is all about articulation in the oral cavity. Agreed. And this articulation makes the varieties of sounds. It also offers varieties of stop locations. What are stop locations? Where the breath is stopped physically by some point of contact between the upper part of the mouth and the lower part of the mouth.
Are antastahas stops?
So antastahas, we'll get to them soon. Antastahas are not full stops, Mahodaya. But my question is even more basic right now. My question is, why five locations?
Because maybe the tongue has to make the least effort while moving between all these five locations.
Well, think about it this way. You have a stretch of road which is, let's say, 10 meters long. And you have one runner called your tongue that has to run up and down depending on the sounds you make. But the truth of the matter is the road ends at your lips and starts at your throat. Between the lips and the throat, you have innumerable places you can stop, correct? You can stop at every millimeter, you can stop at every inch, at every centimeter, at every 5 centimeters, at every 20 centimeters. Randomly, you can stop once at 5, once at 2, once at 10,
So maybe because it's just the more natural place that your tongue arrives.
Now we're getting somewhere.
When it's at rest.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Of all the words you said, I think the word that I'm going to continue to prod on is the word natural. There's something in the answer that refers to the nature of our human something.
Could it be because there's certain places where those five places do create a certain vibration that awakens something in our brain or mind?
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely they do that. They definitely do that. But here's the answer. It is because an average human ear is able to distinguish the sounds that come from the five locations. So although I could have made sounds from maybe 10 stop locations, I could have stopped not just at between my throat and palate, but at a place in between the throat and palate, and in between the palate and the roof of the mouth, in between the roof and the dental, in between dental and labial. So So instead of 5, I could have had 10 locations. But on average, a human ear is not so good at detecting the differences of the sounds. And when you make a vibration to somebody, you want them to be able to understand what you're saying. You want them to be able to detect the sounds as you mean to say them. So an average human ear can easily detect the differences between ka, cha, ta, ta, and pa, which are only 5 locations in the mouth, without any difficulty. Compare this, I will give an analogy of music. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa. 7 notes, right? On average, a human ear can tell the difference. Some may not know if it's higher or lower, but I can tell you that this one note is different from the other. Somebody who has absolutely no musical training or talent or whatever you want to call it, even they can say, wait a minute, sare, these two are different. I don't know which is higher. I don't know which is lower. I don't know which is natural or not. I don't know anything about sound, but I know they're different. But there are music traditions in India called Drupad. If you go into ancient classical Drupad, where my ustad would have 23 notes in an octave. 23 notes. And for him, they were all totally different shades of tones. I couldn't tell. And I'm a trained, I've been trained in music for a long time. I couldn't tell. Some days I could tell. But on average, I couldn't. I guess I would need training.
So I have a lot of...
I'm trying to say. Yeah.
I have a lot of trouble distinguishing between ta and ta.
Yeah, I hear you. Your language, your natural mother tongue, trained you to differentiate other things, but not this. So here in this class, we will learn to differentiate between the sounds in the Sanskrit consonants and vowels. We will learn together. So right now you don't understand it, you don't differentiate it, no problem. We'll get there. Together we will. Okay? All right. So, now let's go on to the next concept. Of the 5 locations, within one location, for example, in one location, there is ka. Ka is located at the throat. The sound ka is located at the throat. Now, at the throat, if I say ka, and if I say ka, what is the difference between the two? I'll do it again. Ka and ka.
One more time, please.
Okay, one more time. Listen, everybody. One sound is ka. And the second sound is ka.
The second one, air coming out.
Ka. Yeah, more air comes out in the second sound. What is that concept called in Sanskrit or in English?
Maha prana and alpa prana.
Uttamam, uttamam. Dhanyavada bhagini, Purnima bhagini. Maha prana. Maha, that's how you get the English word mega. Mega. The English word mega, it originates in the Sanskrit maha. And anybody with Tamil origins in this class, I don't know. But I know Tamil speakers who...
Yeah.
Sundari Bhagini, maybe you can clarify here. In my sort of common knowledge in speaking with Tamil people, I find that the ga and ha are often switched.
Interchanged, yes.
Interchanged, is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, so because the two sounds are so natural, they are so similar in their vibration, ha and ga. So mega maha. So now maha prana. Maha means large, big. Prana. Prana is, we all know, prana is about breath. And that also is such a beautiful word. Pra plus anu. Pra plus anu makes prana. So this prana, when it is large, when the force used by the body to make that sound is more. When I have to push more air out, I use more force, right? So it requires a larger effort. So it's a greater effort that brings out a greater prana. So that is called maha prana. Maha prana sound is kha, pha, gha, cha, tha. These are all mahaprana sounds. The equivalent to all of these, there will be a parallel alpa prana. Alpa means small. You cannot say no sound. So in English, the word becomes aspirated and non-aspirated. Aspirated and non-aspirated. But in reality, you cannot make a sound if you don't push any air out. So non-aspirated is a little bit, you get the idea, but it's technically not possible. So you can say small aspiration and big aspiration, that makes more sense to me. So remember the terminology in Sanskrit, alpa prana and maha prana. So if kha is the maha prana, Chris Bhagini, can you tell me the alpa prana sound of kha? Chris?
Kha.
Kha. Make it even less, even less.
Kha. Kha.
Uttamam. Very nice. Now do mahaprana of the same sound.
Kha.
Kha. Yeah. Kha. Uttamam. Rick Mahodaya, can you give me the alpa prana when you stop breath of air in your palate region? Any one consonant coming from the palate, which is alpa prana. Can you make, give me a sound, Rick Mahodaya?
Kha. Kha. Kha.
Cha.
Rick.
Cha.
One more time.
Cha.
Is that the alpa prana or mahaprana?
That's mahaprana.
Uttamam. Cha. Uttamam. Can you give me the alpa prana of that?
Cha.
Uttamam. Very nice. Cha and cha. Uttamam. Uttamam. Bhavya Bhagini, can you give me any one consonant from the dental region? Dantya.
Da.
One more time.
Da.
Da. Is that dental? Where is your tongue? Where is your tongue touching the mouth?
Just behind the teeth.
Oh, is it? We'll try one more time.
No, it's up on the...
Yes, it is up. I know it is. I can see it.
Yeah, you're right.
Try one more time. Give me dental.
Can you help me? Which dental?
No. I'll help you. The sound that you made with the roof of the mouth makes the same sound, but touch your tongue to the back of the teeth. The same sound.
Da.
No. Cha. No.
Cha?
So cha? You said da. Listen.
Yeah, da.
Shrunotu bhagini, listen. You said da. I'm asking you to change the location of your tongue to touch the back of your teeth.
Cha.
Stop. Now, no. You didn't say ta on top, did you?
No.
No, you said this letter, it was a similar sound to the letter D. So why mm-hmm. are you yes. changing the D to a T?
I thought
don't
it's...
Don't change yes. the letter.
Okay.
Don't change the letter. Don't change mm-hmm. the sound. Keep the same sound, change the location.
Da.
Ah, da. Softer, da. Even softer. Da.
Da.
Da, ah. You can da. Even let your tongue stick out a little bit below your teeth. Just the tip da. Of the tongue sticking out from underneath the top, the front teeth. And everybody stay muted and make the sound da.
Da.
Da. Mm. Mm. Da. Now, can you make, is this Alpa Prana or Maha Prana?
Alpa Prana.
Ah, now can you make the same sound Maha Prana?
Da.
Uttamam. Very nice. Uttamam. Uttamam. Purnima Bhagini, can you make a sound, a stop sound from the roof of the mouth?
Alpa Prana or Maha Prana?
Anyone.
From the roof of the mouth. Da.
Ah, ta. Is that a Maha Prana, Alpa Prana?
Alpa Prana.
Alpa Prana. One more time.
Ta.
Now make the same sound with Maha Prana.
Ta.
Ah, I don't hear the Maha Prana as much. Make it louder.
Ta.
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 Ah. So, this is something that I found that my students in my American university struggled with. The difference between Maha Prana and Alpa Prana in Sanskrit is very large. And in English-speaking people, the habit is to find a middle ground. They are neither Alpa nor Maha. Somewhere in the middle, they say something and then it's confusing. But when you will find that if you continue to allow yourself to not take the strong Alpa and Maha sides, which means you allow yourself to be in this gray area because you kind of are sweet to yourself or gentle to yourself, you will find that it will hurt you later because the letters are entirely different. And the meanings are entirely different. And the vibrations are entirely different. And so how they affect your consciousness is also entirely different. So we have to learn to differentiate very, very distinctly, clearly between Alpa Prana and Maha Prana. You have to know in your head exactly what you intend and keep working to get that. On average, English speakers struggle with creating Alpa Prana. Almost everything is slightly aspirated, but not always. So this is a good time for me to say all this to you. Astu, who is left? Veera Bhagini, can you make a sound with the kanta, with the throat area? Any consonant sound other than ka. Veera Bhagini. Are you there, Veera Bhagini?
Gatu.
Now I hear you. Huh. Make a sound in the kanta area, in the throat area. any consonant.
Ga.
One more time.
Ga.
Is that Alpa or Maha?
Ga.
Is that Alpa Prana, Maha Prana?
Maha.
Is it Maha? Ga. How much air is coming out?
Ga. Well, very little. So it's Alpha. Yes.
All right, now try to make a lot of air come out. See what comes out.
Ga.
You hear the difference?
Yes.
Uttamam. Uttamam. Ga and Gha. Uttamam. Very nice. Rafael Mahodaya, can you make a sound in the palate region? Stop in the palate region and make a sound.
Tongue.
Where is your tongue touching?
On the upper part of the... The upper part of the mouth.
Yeah, upper where? There are five locations, Mahodaya.
Yeah, in the middle of the...
In the middle, I'm asking for palate. Palate. Which means?
The palate is... I'm not familiar with the positions right now.
Not familiar. Astu. Astu. Nasti chinta. I am going to do a screen sharing for all of us. If you cannot see, you please tell me. Can everybody see on their screens?
Not yet.
Yes.
Oh, no? Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
Uttamam. Uttamam. So, in the kantha, we have the sound. Somebody said, Ashley said, it comes from blocking the passage of air from the lungs at this location. The back of the tongue blocks that throat. And then as soon as it is released, air comes out making either a maha prana or a alpa prana of some consonant, depending on how much effort you put in of the air. So one sound was ka. Can you see my cursor?
Yes.
Yeah. So over here it is ka is alpa prana, kha is maha prana, ga alpa prana, gha maha prana. All those four sounds have come from blocking the air exactly in the same location, and yet four entirely different sounds have come. Entirely different sounds. These sounds can be differentiated by, on average, by a human ear. So, if you block in the palate is somewhere right here. It's maybe not so high up, it's kind of a little bit further back. The diagrams all change. Every person has a slightly different diagram. When I draw my diagram, my throat region comes all the way here. And up here is my palate. But you know what? It's just a diagram. Now, close your eyes and look at the location with your inner eyes at the kantha. Where exactly is the stopping happening and how is it happening? Repeatedly make the sound ka, kha. Stay muted and look at yourself from your inner eyes and observe what is happening in the back of the mouth. Ka. 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 Notice that the tip of your tongue is just resting in the base of the mouth. The middle of the tongue is just resting in the mouth. The back of the tongue rises and it touches the very bottom of the throat, blocks the air, releases the air, and out comes the sound ka. Ka. So, and then when you start, so the what is the difference between ka and ga? Who can tell me the difference between ka and ga?
Ka is hard and ga is soft.
And if I don't know what that means, if I don't know what hard and soft means,
it's less effort to do ga and more effort to get ka.
All right. Okay. Yeah, all of everything you are saying is correct. But I don't even know where to go with those words. I don't know that what is it that the mouth is doing that is distinctly different between ka and ga. Who can articulate that more technically?
The vocal cords are vibrating for ga while not for ka.
Uttamam mahodaya. So in ga, ga, feel the vibration. You can feel the entire throat region vibrating. Even the thought of saying ga, they start to vibrate. But when you start to think that I'm going to make the sound ka, there's no vibration. Think about it. Say the sound and look for a vibration. Don't say ka, but think about saying ka. Prepare to say ka. Is there any vibration? Do you feel any vibration? Say you're going to think, I'm going to make the sound ka. You have blocked the back of the throat. You are ready to release, but you haven't released. And is your throat vibrating? Are your vocal cords vibrating when you have not yet released the sound ka? Yes or no?
No.
No. Who said that? Marie Josephine. Ah, correct.
Yes.
No. Now do the same for the sound ga, as in gum. Don't say ga, but get ready to say ga and get almost to the point of releasing, but don't release. Now notice, is there vibration in your throat?
Yes.
Yes, it's already going. Your brain is so far ahead of you guys. And so is your entire human body. You know what retards us? Is ourselves. Everything else is ready to go fast. It's interesting. It's really fascinating. How fast our brains have figured out that to make the sound ga, I need to vibrate. Let me get ready. The motor, the engine is on. The car is on idle. It's ready. Because it knows that a vibration is needed to make the sound ga. That's how fast it is. And yet, intellectually, here we are in a class trying to figure out what's the difference. And it takes us a while. And so what's the beauty of Sanskrit is that it understands this very human nature, which is so inherently intelligent. Look at the intelligence of the body. Before you and I have to think about what is going on, is there vibration, is there no vibration, what is in contact, is it Mahaprana, Alpaprana, here we are spending all these hours figuring this out. The body knows. It's the intelligence in the body. And Sanskrit is a language that understands and knows the reality that everything has inherent intelligence and a very beautiful intelligence. And that is what we are trying to understand through the language of Sanskrit, the inherent intelligence in everything. That is why it is called the language of oneness. That is why it is called the language of consciousness. That is why it is called the most natural language. That is why it is called the perfect language. Because you can be from any culture, from any language speaking people. But this is common inherent knowledge, wisdom of the body. All right? So that's what we're trying to become aware of. Just like when you go to yoga classes, I suppose most of us have gone to yoga classes regularly. When you go to yoga classes, it doesn't create an arm or a leg for you. You already had the arm and a leg and a back and a, you know, neck and the muscles. You just didn't know they existed. I never knew all the muscles. I had no idea so many parts in my body existed until I started to bring awareness to them. Yoga does that physically. And Sanskrit does it physically as well as intellectually, consciously, spiritually, and every way. But this Devanagari, this learning of the language of Devanagari will allow us to have, I call it yoga of the mouth, yoga of sound. It will bring you so much awareness of your mouth. All right. So, we have now understood that there is Alpaprana, Mahaprana. We have understood that there are five locations in the oral cavity. And we have understood that in each location in the oral cavity, to make a consonant sound or a stop sound, you can vibrate your vocal cords, or optionally not vibrate your vocal cords to make two distinct consonant sounds. Now, without vibrating your vocal cords, you can make two sounds, Alpaprana, Mahaprana, like ka and ka. With vibration, you can make two more sounds, vibrating Alpaprana, vibrating Mahaprana. So, now we have four choices. Ka, kha, ga, gha. All coming out of from the kantha region. Kantha region, right here. Now there is a fifth sound that also we make from this region. What is that? Who can tell me?
Nga.
Nga. What is that called?
Nasal.
Nasal. Nasal is also called in Sanskrit Anunasika. Anu means that follows. Nasika. Does that have any resemblance with nasal? The English word nasal. Can you understand where that English word comes from now? Nasika. Nose comes from nasika. Anunasika. Nasika. So when you employ the nose also to release air, not only is air being released through the oral cavity, but also through the nasal cavity, when both are being used at any location, it makes a distinct nasal sound. It makes a distinct nasal sound. The nasal sound that comes when you block this region of the mouth is nga. Can you tell me how this nga is written in English?
NG.
NG. So the word song, although it has the same N, as in no, when you say no, which location are you using? Kantha, talu, murdhana, danta, or oshta? Na, the sound no. Which location is it coming from? Who can tell me?
Danta.
Danta. Uttamam. Dantya. It is from here. The letter N, the eyes, I see the letter N, and immediately your tongue blocks this region. And then it releases to make the sound na. And then it sees the letter O, and it says, oh, wait a minute, I got to make my lips round. So you make your lips round, you block this region, and you release air and the sound no comes out. But the same N exists in the word S-O-N-G. Why does your brain not say, oh, there's a letter N, let me block here? Because the brain already sees the letter G behind it and it says, oh, actually, for G, I have to block it here. So why don't I just make the nasal from here while I block for G? And that's why NG is a totally different sound than NO, although the nasal is written in the same letter N. But in Sanskrit, in Devanagari, Devanagari is the name of the script used in Sanskrit language. It is also the same script as Hindi. A lot of words in Marathi and Gujarati, Rajasthani, they use many, many Devanagari letters. And in fact, when you start to analyze the Devanagari letters, I have found that I have found similarity even with Sinhalese. I can kind of see, even Tibetan, when you see Om Mani Padme Hum, you can see the Devanagari letters in that. When you read Bengali, you can see, oh, I can see how it is similar to Devanagari. It's a different script. But still, there is a huge... It's like, the fruit never falls too far from the tree. Of course, with each generation and distance, it gets further. But still, you can see the trail. Astu. So, now the question arises. We have made 5 sounds from this Kantha region. Let us try to make 5 sounds from the palate region. Who has not spoken in class yet? Kamala Bhagini, Sarka Bhagini, Joy Bhagini, Chris Bhagini. Any of you, would you like to say, make a sound from the Thalu region?
Cha.
Cha. Who is that?
Joy.
Joy. Namaste, Bhagini. Joy. Cha. Is that Alpa Prana or Maha Prana?
That is Alpha Prana.
Alpa, not Alpa. Alpa Prana.
Alpa Prana.
Uttamam. Small breath. Alpa Prana. Can you give me the Maha Prana of the same sound?
Cha.
Cha, little hard, more effort. Cha.
Cha.
Uttamam, very nice. Uttamam, sundaram. Cha, cha. Astu. Sarka Bhagini, can you add vibration to that same sound? Vocal cord vibration to the sound cha. And tell me what that sound would be. Sarka Bhagini. Start vibrating your vocal cords and make the sound cha without stopping your vocal cord vibration. See what comes.
Churn. Churn.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else want to try?
Ja.
Ja. Ja. Ja. See, what we are trying to do is, it's like this. You go internally, look at your mouth, observe internally, and you say to yourself, what is the tongue doing in the mouth to make the sound cha? That's the question you have to ask yourself. We're all yoga practitioners, somewhere at some level. We've all been to some classes. So you look and you say, wait, what is my right hand doing? What is my, where is my balance? Where is my right hip? Where is my left shoulder? Where is my, you know, what do you do in a yoga class, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to asana and you see your body and you're like, wait, what's going on? The teacher has their this hand down, this hand up, this leg here, this leg. You, that's what you do. So that's what I want us to do, except take your vision inward. And look at what you are having to do to make the sound cha. Sarka Bhagini, what is it that you are doing to make the sound cha? Can you describe it? Say somebody is asking you. How do you describe the blocking in the mouth of the...
Well, my tongue goes to the roof of my mouth behind my teeth. And my jaw moves up. And air comes out through my lower teeth.
I see. So then you are using your dental to make the sound ch, which is really not a pure th. It's more like a th than th s. But you have to go further back, like the sound ch. As in churn. When you say churn, you really don't touch the back of the teeth. Churn, do you?
No, the tongue pulls away from the roof of the mouth.
Yes, it doesn't go to the dental area at all. It doesn't even go here. Your tongue has nothing to do with this region. It is doing most of the work right here. Your tongue is going to the back roof of the mouth, not the top roof. Observe carefully. Cha. Because cha. And it actually sort of sinks. Your tongue flattens a little bit. It pulls to each side, left and right. And it goes back up into the roof of the mouth. Your tongue does all this, blocks it, and releases to make the sound cha. Cha. Observe carefully. Cha. 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 And throughout this entire experience, there is no vocal cord vibration. Now, if you add the vocal cord vibration, as Ashley Bhagini made the sound, you get the sound ja, ja. Same blocking, same left and right, the tongue is spreading a little bit to the side, it's flattening a little bit, thickening and moving to the back roof or the palate region. Ja, ja. Can you make the sound ja, Sarka Bhagini?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, ja. Now make the same sound and in Mahaprana. Mahaprana.
Yeah.
Kamala Bhagini, can you help her?
Yes. Ja.
So we want to make one sound. We don't want two sounds. We don't need ja followed by ha. We need one sound. Try again. Very nice. Ja. Ja. Sarka Bhagini. Ja.
Ja. Like Jalandhara. Ja.
Yes, but Jalandhara, you didn't do Mahaprana. So try again. So ja.
Ja.
Yes, very good. Ja. So now we have made four sounds from the palate. Can you make all those four sounds, Sarka Bhagini?
Cha. Cha.
Good. Ja. Cha. First sound. No. First sound cha, which is alpa prana. Now make the same sound mahaprana.
Chi. Chi.
No, you cannot change the vowel. I didn't ask you to change the vowel from a to e.
Okay.
What is the difference between Alpa Prana and Maha Prana?
The breath.
What about the breath?
There's aspiration in the Alpha and there's no aspiration in the Maha.
No, the other way. Maha means big.
Okay.
Prana means breath. What do you think big breath means?
Aspiration.
What do you think big breath means?
To give, like, aspiration?
Yes. So, a Maha Prana means big aspiration.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Maha Prana means big aspiration. So, Cha is Alpa Prana. Cha is Maha Prana. Ja is Alpa Prana. Jha is Maha Prana. Got it?
Got it.
And four, these are four entirely different sounds, consonants, letters, vibrations, consciousness, energies, everything. They're different. But they all come from the same location, point of articulation in the mouth. Now, who can tell me who has not spoken yet? Amy Bhagini. Oh, Rodrigo Mahodaya. Namaskara. I didn't notice you came. Swagatam. Rodrigo Mahodaya, can you tell me the nasal that comes from the palatal region? Rodrigo Mahodaya?
The nasal is
Astiva?
Nya.
Nya. As in, can Nya. You think of a word like that?
I only know words in Spanish.
Yes, yeah. I want Spanish.
Mañana.
I'm not.
Mañana.
Mañana. Nya. Nya. Enye. What you call enye.
Exactly.
Uttamam. Uttamam. So, nya is the nasal that comes from the palatal region. So now we have five sounds from the kantha and five from the palate. Right? Now we have moved on to the murdhana area or the roof of the mouth. Roof of the mouth. Who would like to try those sounds? Kamala Bhagini, can you tell me, make me a sound from the roof of the mouth?
Yeah.
Is your tongue blocking air from the, by touching the tongue to the roof of the mouth? When you say yeah, when I say yeah, I find my tongue actually going very, very flat down. I don't find it making contact with the top of the mouth at all. I want you to make contact with the very top of the mouth. Chris Bhagini, Diane Bhagini, anybody would like to try?
I can try. Let me try it again.
Much better. Take your tongue. Actually, this is a slightly tricky sound with the Western tongue. Here, what the Indian tongue does is something that is kind of a slightly new. So what this is the tip of the tongue, which can be flattened or it can be made pointed, right? As we speak or as we choose. What happens in the roof of the mouth is that it kind of goes up and it curls backwards. So the back of the lower part of the tongue, which is kind of bluish looking, this part, this is what is visible on this side all the way. And the upper surface of the tongue, which is where your taste buds are, is here in the back. So it's kind of like a finger going and turning backwards. So this region is also called in English retroflex, because the tongue goes up and it curls backwards. And then as you release the sound to make the consonant, it slaps down and makes that consonant. So Chris Bhagini, make that sound one more time.
Ta.
Ah, very nice. Ta. Now make the mahaprana of that same sound.
Ta.
Ah, very nice. Diane Bhagini, do the same.
Ta.
Ta. Ta. Ah,
ta.
Ta. Ah, now ta. Make the mahaprana. Ta.
Ta.
Ah, ta. More mahaprana. Ta.
Ta.
Ah, ta. More mahaprana. Get all your ta. Lungs out. Ta.
Ta.
Ah, get the air out.
Ta.
You won't believe how much air you're being so miserly. I'm going to get the air out of you.
Okay.
Don't be miserly. Remember, it's the same amount of air, whether it's inside of you or outside of you. We all have the same air around us. So it's like, okay? So let's take it out. Ta.
Ta.
Wow, nice. Ta. Uttamam. Astu, Veera Bhagini. Now, I'm to ask you to give me the vibration sound of the same consonant. When your vocal cords vibrate, this concept in Sanskrit is called mrudu. The mrudu. Mrudu, actually, as somebody in the very beginning said, that the voice sounds are soft sounds. And that's exactly what the definition of this vibration is in Sanskrit. So she was actually right on, except that it's hard for an English speaker or a Western mind to see what's going on. So it's a softer sound when your vocal cords vibrate. So we have done ta and ta. Now, if your vocal cords were to vibrate when you make that sound, what would come out? Veera Bhagini.
Ta. No.
Yeah, ta is when your vocal cords are not vibrating.
Ta.
Ta. Ta. They start to vibrate only because of the but the consonant itself, they don't vibrate. And next week, I will show you how to physically watch yourself. But this week, I want you to think about it without any visuals. That's why I'm holding myself back. Right. So, ta becomes... Start vibrating your vocal cords. And make the sound ta. What will happen? Same blocking, same everything physically, your tongue, you're doing the exact same thing as you did with ta, except that you vibrate your throat. Go ahead.
Ta, ta, ta.
Somebody else? So here's another way to look at it, Veera Bhagini. If cha, cha becomes ja, cha, palatal becomes ja, then ta will become
da.
Is a softer
da
is a softer version, isn't it?
Yes. Da.
Da. Da. Now make sure that when you make the sound da, your tongue goes all the way back up and kind of flips around, curls backwards. At the very roof, blocks air and then releases. Da.
Da. Da.
Da. Uttamam. Now, mahaprana.
Da.
No, I want air coming out.
Da.
In one sound.
Da.
Somebody else. Good. Keep trying. Who else is going to try for me? Amy Bhagini.
Da.
Ah, good. Good. Was that Sirka? Good. Amy Bhagini? Good.
Da.
Like a sheep.
Yes, good. You should feel like all the animals on the planet. I mean, we are so deprived, humans are so deprived of all our connections. We've been that way ever since we became these city dwellers living in these man-made structures so far away from nature. We want to feel like a horse and a sheep and a chicken and all those beautiful things. Amy Bhagini, can you try for me all these sounds?
Da.
Yes, good. Dha. One more time.
Dha.
Dha. Let the air come out. You're somehow doing what is very commonly done, which is to push it out, but somehow culturally, this is something I spent years trying to figure out. Why is it that the American brain cannot release air in a speech? And I realized that maybe it's about being so polite. It's considered kind of too much air. It's how can I let out so much air in front of somebody? Dha. So forget about all those inhibitions. Just let it out. Dha.
Dha.
Yeah, more air. Put your hand in front of your mouth and do ha.
Da.
No, just do ha.
Ha.
Yeah, can you feel the amount of air coming on your fingers? I want your hand right in front of your mouth, very close to your lips. Do one more time. Ha.
Ha.
That's the amount of air I want you to feel when you say da.
Da. Da.
Did you feel it?
Da.
Do you feel it?
Yes, it's more of an open.
No, no, you don't. You don't feel it because I don't hear it. Okay, try one more time.
Da.
Da. Push the air out.
Da.
So, yes, so this is what your homework needs to be, everybody, is to make the five sounds that will come from each of those five locations.
Da. Da.
So we have practiced kantha, ka kha, ka kha, ga gha, nga, five. We have done talu, cha cha, ja jha, nya, five. Murdhana, ta tha, da dha, and then na na. Okay, I will then send you all the five from here. So let me just sound them out to you. We're out of time. The dantya sounds will be ta, ta, tha, tha. Then voiced da, da. Is somebody typing? Dha, dha. And then, na. Then coming from the oshta, pa, pa. And the rest I will let you make. Figure them out. So that's the homework I have for all of you. Please do your best to think about all this. And make the sounds. Practice making those sounds.
Gitanjali teacher, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Then each of the sounds you've created, or you ask us to practice, they sound like the consonant with the noun A after it.
Yes.
So when you're saying like the D that you just had, Amy, you said it's hard for Westerners to do that large maha breath with the... So... Like, if it made me think of the American slang word, duh, like, duh, you're so stupid, like, duh. Is it important that we use the sound ah rather than after the consonant?
Yeah, very good question. So this is the difference, another difference between English letters and Sanskrit. All consonants in Sanskrit inherently have the same vowel, which is a short a. Unlike English, where you have B. So the consonant B has a long E following. The vowel is E. But then when you have K, it's the A sound. When you have S, there's no vowel following. So it's very inconsistent. But in Sanskrit, all consonants inherently are followed by the short a sound. So k, k, g, gh, ng, t, th, d, dh, n. So you cannot just randomly change the vowels. That changes the letter, the alphabet. Okay? It's a good question.
Thank you, teacher.
Good question. So keep that in mind. And remember, it's not a long vowel. You can't just say ta, ta. That's not the letter. That's too long. It has to be short. Ta, ga, pa, cha, da, ka. The ending is always the same. So think about these sounds. Think about what they would be. And if you really don't think about it daily, then this class is of not much value. I'm just telling you that. I've taught this class many, 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 many years. And those students that spend daily time contemplating it, thinking about it, observing their mouth, observing the tongue locations, observing what the movement of the mouth or the breath or the tongue does, they are the ones that benefit. Then there are students that say, oh, I know all this. I don't need to think about it. I know it all. And you will find that it's like somebody saying, I know what all the yoga asanas are. I just don't want to do them. Somebody who does those asanas, practice yoga asanas, versus somebody who knows them are two entirely different beings. So that's a choice that we make in this classroom. I urge you to all think about that. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate your participation. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your questions. Please feel free to question me anytime. Any other questions?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I will close with a closing chant. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Dhanyavada Sarvebhya Namo Namaha.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gita.
Thank you, Vada.
Thank you, Gita.
Namaskaraha.